This is the Jump Around with Jim Rutledge and Brad Nortman, outfitted by Iron Jock, streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Round 3.0 on ESPN Digital on YouTube and on we're on Facebook as well. Sorry for the rough start there. I had ESPN National in my ear and I was very confused what was going on. But we are now ready to go. It is me, Jim Rutledge, alongside former Badger Brad Nortman, who I believe has a birthday today. Is that right, Brad?
That is correct. Well, 35 years young. Can you believe it? 35.
So I am 9 years older than you at 44 years old. So our fandom overlaps enough there, Brad. And we have a very exciting show. And I want to get to kind of the history of Badger football. I don't have a lot to look back to for the game on Saturday. We can kind of look at it as far as predicting future performance. But we have Thomas Hammack, NIU coach, former Badger running back coach, joining the show. He coached Monte Ball, James White, Melvin Gordon. A lot of those players were cheering for him on social media. You overlapped with Coach Hammack for a little bit as well. He's joining us at 12:35, so we're excited for that. But I wanted to talk a little bit about this game coming up against Alabama. And when I look at this game and I look at what the Badgers have going on, I want to talk big picture because I don't want to miss this. And what I look at here for Wisconsin, and we can use South Dakota game, we can use the Western Michigan game as reasons why they can and can't win. But I first want to ask you this question, Brad, that if the Badgers, and I know you're a part of one of these wins, I believe, but if the Badgers, or at least you cheered for them, if the Badgers beat Alabama on Saturday, is that the biggest win in Wisconsin football history since they won the Rose Bowl last, which is over, you know, pushing 30 years, 25 years?
Yes, it is. It would be a bigger win than us beating Ohio State when they were number one overall in 2010. I say that because this is a unique opportunity, right? This is the number four team in the country, which, you know, Ohio State was number one. But this is an SEC opponent. This is an opponent in Alabama that has been riding maybe the greatest dynasty in college football history. Now, I know they aren't the same team that they were throughout most of the 2010s with Saban and all that. I get it. But this is still within striking distance of the greatest dynasty in college football history. So when I look at Wisconsin's opportunity here to put a legitimate statement win for Coach Fickell, which it's something he needs to do. Coach Fickell needs a statement win sometime in his first two or three seasons. There's no better time to do that right now. This would be the biggest win since those Rose Bowls. And I want to say, and I know our producer, Wooly, has looked up the biggest underdog situations for the Badgers. And even that 2010 game against the Ohio State Buckeyes when they were first overall, we were only single-digit underdogs.
Yep.
I think it was like 3 or 4 points. This is 16.5 last time I saw. So this would be the statement win the Wisconsin Badgers need. And it would be the biggest win since the winning the Rose Bowl. I'm right there with you.
Yes, when the Badgers pulled off that upset in 2010, they won 31-18 in Camp Randall against Ohio State, only 3.5-point underdogs. In fact, in the last 18 years, the Badgers have only been double-digit underdogs 11 times. They've won one of those games.
And look, this game is not something I have marked down as a victory. Maybe I picked them to win in our pick'em, but that's just more of like, hey, why not? I'd rather be wrong like that. There's no consequence for being a little optimistic. But I look at this, and Brad, you hit on a lot of it, that one, the state of the program. And it's, I don't think it's in such a bad state that people in my mentions on social media are about this game and saying this is the third worst team since in all of Badgers in the last 30 years. I think that's a bit hyperbolic because, look, you got to go on record on some of that stuff, too, and you can't just retroactively look at players on teams and say, oh, but those players ended up being good later on in their college career or good pros. That still doesn't mean like the 2008 Badgers that went 7-6 was not one of the most disappointing teams in the history, right there, maybe right behind the shoebox team. That had external factors to make that team disappointing. So I don't want to get into like where this team falls because we're only two games in, Brad, and everyone's getting worked up about it. But if this team does play to the level of their competition. And they can go out and do to Alabama what South Dakota and Western Michigan tried to do to the Badgers, which is make it ugly, drag, you know, run out that clock, just keep it close going into the fourth quarter, and then maybe you get a break going your way. And obviously, with Coach Hammock coming up here in a little bit, he knows the anatomy of an upset. I mean, nobody thought Northern Illinois was going to beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame. That wasn't going to happen. And the Badgers can do something very similar if they knock out Alabama. It then gets the players to buy in unquestionably. And I think there's buy-in from this team. But if you go out and beat Bama, everyone on this team's like, oh, Coach Vic knows what's going on. And then you NIL money we talked about, those boosters, those alumni, like everyone's going to come flocking to the program. So the brand awareness raises, the money coming into the program raises, the recruiting gets easier. All of that bumps up, but then even in the micro of this season, these players are now like, we can slay any dragon that comes our way if we can beat Alabama. I don't care it's at Camp Randall.
I'm right there with you, Jim. And even Alabama, look, I know that they're probably not quite as good as Georgia. There's a familiarity with Ohio State. There's something about Alabama.
Yes.
That, you know, you've got just the history, the crimson, the number on the side of the helmet, and the recent domination that just it makes them feel like they are still the biggest, baddest program in all of college football, even if they're not the, you know, number one Georgia right now. So I still think they have that mystique to them to where a victory would be program changing. It would be absolutely program changing. And I hate the idea of moral victories. I hate them.
Yes.
But if the Badgers keep it close, and I mean close, like wire to wire, if they lose in a heartbreak, if they lose by one score, this is one of the rare times where I actually think a moral victory would be legitimate. I really do. I think you would look at that. Because I'm trying to put myself outside of my Badger fanhood. If Nebraska hosted Bama and they took him to the end, took him to the wire, it was a one-score game, I would look at Nebraska completely different and say, wow, that is a team that is, they're there. They've arrived. They're ready. If they can do that to Bama, then who can't they play with? So this is one of the rare opportunities where, look, I'm rooting for the Badgers as I do every single week, and I don't really believe in moral victories. This is one of the rare exceptions where if they can do that, I actually think it benefits the program even in a loss if you keep it wire to wire close and a heartbreaking end.
Well, and you look at it, you'd have USC coming up next. So if you go out there and you get smoked and you don't cover the spread or you lose by 15 or 16 and it just is ugly, then you get a week off, then you go out to USC, like you just have to like sit on that for a while, and then you have a USC game that could get ugly if this game got ugly, if your team starts to lose some hope in themselves. So to your point, the moral victory is more, you'd almost use like a momentum victory. Like carry momentum from this game forward. Whether it's a win or a loss, leave this game feeling like you are a football team that can hang with anyone. And to your point, if they hang with Alabama, then they feel like they can hang with anyone. And then when you have USC, you don't want this team getting down on themselves. I think it happened a little bit last year. Bama into USC is a tough go. But then you have Purdue, Rutgers, Northwestern in a row that can build your confidence. So if you can play well in these games or split these games, steal one of these games, then the rest of the schedule feels much more palatable and it feels like you can do anything. Even to your point, even if you hang with Alabama and you lose, much like the Ohio State game, if it just kind of flitters away at the end, like it did last year, you're in it. Now you have to carry it. They didn't carry that momentum forward, but that's something that can be done.
Yeah, I look back at last year, that Ohio State game, and I think to myself, man, that was one of the best games of the year, in my opinion, last year. They didn't win, but they looked like they fought hard. They hung with Ohio State, who was a very good team. And I felt better after that game than I did most of the games last year. And that's where I think is an interesting stretch, right? You got Alabama, you got USC. You've got traditional powerhouses. There's something to be said, which is another reason why I think this game is so marquee. There's something to be said about, well, Bama's non-conference. USC is conference now, which still feels strange. But when you beat a team that you're unfamiliar with, right? I mean, like the Badgers have pulled off upsets over Ohio State and Michigan, Penn State. I mean, teams that you have familiarity with, those are special and those mean a lot. But there's something about when I look back at the 2016 LSU game, there's something about when the Badgers play teams outside of the comfort, outside of what you're familiar with in the Big Ten. And they're going to have that for sure with Alabama. And now I guess USC is a as a conference opponent, but it still feels a bit foreign. When you span outside of the Big Ten and you can play well against those other big bad boys, there is something to be said about that. And that's why I think it's even more meaningful. It spans different types of gameplay, it different areas of the country. I think it's bigger for reach, for brand awareness. If Wisconsin upsets Ohio State, that feels big in the Big Ten and pretty big nationally. Wisconsin upsets Alabama, that's big nationally. Everyone in the South is catching notice from all my friends from Charlotte and Jacksonville all over the South. They would take notice of that. We beat Ohio State, they'd say, oh, that's cool. We beat Alabama, they'd say, holy cow, look at Wisconsin doing something big nationally.
And speaking of doing something big nationally, our next guest is going to join us after a short break is Thomas Hammack, former Badger Wisconsin running back coach, now the NIU coach. They pulled off the upset heard around the world last weekend. They're now the 25th ranked team in the country after taking down another number 4 Notre Dame in South Bend. We'll hear from Thomas Hammack on the other side. This is the Jump Around 3.0.
Not winning conference stinks. Not making the playoffs stinks. Not being able to finish the season due to injury stinks. Don't stink. Get Iron Jock. What's up, Wisconsin? It's Ches Malusi here. I'm back. I'm ready to finish what I came here to do. They think they're gonna stop me this Saturday? Not a chance. I'm Iron Jock ready. Iron Jock is what's inside.
And the Jump Around is outfitted, as you can see it here, by Iron Jock. Use the promo code ESPN30 for 30% all purchases over $50. We are now thrilled to be joined. And Brad, I'm going to let you kind of jump into this because you guys overlap for a little bit. But the man of the week, one of those upsets that people will be talking about for a very long time, NIU head football coach Thomas Hammack. And obviously here in Wisconsin, we always say once a Badger, always a Badger. And Coach Hammack, you coach Monte Ball, James White, Melvin Gordon. I saw them all on social media hyping you up, very excited for you. I know Brad Nortman was as well. So congratulations, Coach. And how has this week been after pulling off such a monumental upset?
You know, it's been unbelievable. The support, the interest, the attention for our program, for our university, has been great. Our players have worked extremely hard to get to this point, to have this moment, and now we got to follow it up. We all know what football looks like. We all understand, you know, from one week to the next, you got to be consistent. And so that's what we're working on. I'm just so happy we got a bye week this week where we have an opportunity to get them back locked in to the task at hand.
Coach Hammack, great to see you again. We go back all the way to 2011 when I was a senior at Wisconsin and you were the running back coach. Just having a wonderful stable of running backs to coach in that really, really fun, exciting, successful year. And then played against one another when you were running backs coach for the Baltimore Ravens a few times throughout the NFL. Never directly playing against each other, but nonetheless, great to have you on. And I'm curious, you know, you've had a really successful coaching history, and I know that you know, Wisconsin's a unique place. What's one big takeaway from your time at Wisconsin that you've held on to now that you're the head coach of NIU that you try to instill into NIU's program?
Yeah, I think the one big takeaway I took away from Wisconsin was, you know, how hard you guys worked. You know, it's very unique at Wisconsin, the mentality, the approach, the toughness, the physicality. I remember in 2011 when we had Russell Wilson, our Friday practice was the hardest practice of the week. And he wanted those guys to run routes, and he wanted to throw everything full speed. And that just stuck with me that this is possible. And so we try to keep that same mentality. That's the DNA of our program, try to be tough and physical, work extremely hard with great discipline to give ourselves a chance to compete at a high level.
And we're talking with Thomas Hammack, NIU head football coach, pulled off a massive upset over Notre Dame. You have a great story in the fact that you played at Northern Illinois and now obviously you're coaching there. We have you on because you have these Wisconsin ties. one of these ties that I think that anyone that played at Wisconsin, or obviously in your case, coached at Wisconsin, Barry Alvarez is someone, and obviously we hear with Brett Bielema and other ones, but Barry Alvarez built this program, and it's something that it looks like you're trying to reestablish and then lift up Northern Illinois. Is that something that you've noticed, and something that drew you to Northern Illinois was the idea that you could be there, Barry Alvarez, not to put too much pressure on you?
Yeah, no. Funny story, I actually texted Coach Alvarez this morning, not because I was going to be on this show, but because I haven't heard from him. Obviously, he coached at Notre Dame, and I wanted to show appreciation for him giving me an opportunity to join his program when he did. I was a novice in the coaching profession, and he gave me an opportunity. But the one thing I learned from Coach Alvarez is the plan to win, how you tell your staff on Sunday the things that we need to do throughout the week to put ourselves in a position to be successful. And I explained that to him in the text to say, Coach, I appreciate everything. I still remember the lessons that you taught me, that you taught the staff, and I try to implement that in my coaching as well.
Coach Hammack, going into the game against Notre Dame, just looking back at the lines, it's wild how, you know, the betting lines are one thing going ahead of time, and then you go out there and you actually beat Notre Dame. 28.5-point underdog. How did you keep your team confident throughout the week to go in there? And I think one thing, when there's such a big disparity, I know, like Wisconsin going into playing Bama this week, you can almost convince yourself that you lost before the game even starts. So how did you instill confidence in your guys when the storylines, the headlines were, you know, you don't have a shot?
Well, I think, you know, my players understand I'm pretty honest with them, and I tell them what I think sometime to a fault. In 2021, we played Michigan, and going into that week, I remember telling them, hey, this is the best team I've seen on tape ever, and I think that spooked them out, and they wound up beating us 66-13 or something, but they were good. And after the game, I said, they built that team to beat Ohio State, and obviously they've been, you know, playing extremely well over the last couple of years. Well, that was 3 years ago, and we still have a lot of the same guys in the building that played in that game, and we're more mature. We're more physical, we're more disciplined, and obviously those guys are better football players. So when I watched the tape this week, you know, I never talked about, you know, we're a 4-touchdown underdog because I didn't feel that was, you know, possible. All I talked about was we are good enough if you guys play your best to compete at a very high level, and then somebody's got to make a play in the fourth quarter. And so the way the game started out, they scored in the opening touchdown drive. We let the ball hit the ground on kickoff return and was starting with the ball at the 2-yard line. I was getting my Michigan, speech ready after the game, you know, because I was like, this could get ugly. But they stayed in the fight. They gave themselves a chance. They stayed together. They was locked in on the sideline, and they believed. And when you have that type of belief and stick-to-itness, then things like what happened on Saturday is possible.
How would you describe your coaching style? You kind of touched on it for a minute, but clearly you make a connect with these players because, like, to a T, and I know Monte has done some stuff with us before, and same with Melvin and James White, and they all speak very highly of you. They also say that you, along with maybe Bob Bostad, are like the toughest coaches they've ever been around. So you have that ability to, and look, that's the way that people talk about Barry Alvarez too, to really drive them harder than they've ever been driven before, but then they also feel closer to you than they felt to most coaches. Is that the style you brought to being a head coach now that you have this opportunity?
Yeah, you know, the way I coach is very, intense. Every detail matters. And in order to coach like that, you better have a great relationship with the players. So I spend more time building a relationship. So then when we get on the practice field or we in an intense situation, they understand it's not personal. They understand I love them, I care about them, but I want to make them the best player possible. So that takes time, that takes trust, that takes commitment on both sides. But I'm willing to work at it with the players. I go in the weight room all the time. I'm at every workout. I'm talking to them, joking with them, making them feel comfortable that, hey, listen, when it is time to work on the practice field, and I get on you, it's coming from a place of love. And I think that's important because you just can't just jump on guys all the time and not have a relationship, because at some point they're going to tune you out.
Coach, you are now in a position that every team wants to be in, right? I mean, all the articles say, hey, NIU, they're knocking on the door to the college football playoff based on the way the college football playoff is structured, and everything is right in front of you guys. How do you keep the team present and not letting this win get to their head, but then to continue to go week by week, finish the year strong, and not get so far ahead of themselves now that you guys have been thrust into the national spotlight?
Yeah, I'm just honest with them. I said, you know, those things are not possible if you don't continue to win. So no matter what people may say on the outside, we're not an SEC school. We're not a Big Ten school. You can't have two or three losses and still expect to continue to play. So all we need to do is keep it small, take it 1 week at a time, and play. And I don't mean that in a coach speak perspective, but I mean that, and we have to understand where we are. You know, some of those luxuries that other teams are afforded, we're not going to be afforded. So it doesn't even make sense to think about it. Our goal is to win a MAC championship, and that means this Buffalo game is even more important than the Notre Dame game, in my opinion, because this game affects our goals of what we want going into the season.
Coach, I have no doubt that you're going to have this team locked in and ready to go. A heck of a job getting your team ready to buy in. I love the quote. I told them all week, we don't need luck. We just need to be our best, and they believed, and everything you said post-game was amazing. Obviously, kind of a media and college football darling and star this week. Everyone loves your story and loves what's going on. You probably had former players and people you expected to hear from. Was there one or two messages, texts, or call where you're like, wow, didn't expect that to happen after that big win?
Yeah, no. I'm a huge Yankees fan, and Aaron Boone reached out to me.
Wow.
I thought that was just...
That's awesome.
Phenomenal. I'm from Jersey City, New Jersey, and grew up a Yankees fan from, you know, Danny Tartable to Don Mattingly back in the day. And so for him to reach out to me, you best believe I saved his number. So when they win the World Series, I will send him a congratulatory text after.
Well, Coach, let us, both me and Brad, and I think all of Badger Nation is rooting for you, congratulate you on your victory and wish you luck going forward for the rest of the season. Love to see you in the college football playoff and win that MAC title you're looking for. So
yeah,
thanks, Coach, and good luck going forward.
Congratulations, Coach.
Hey, thank you. Y'all got a big game this week. Good luck with that as well.
We do. Thank you, Coach. And we're hoping that some of the good luck from Coach Hammack and the great coach of Coach Hammack rubs off here in Wisconsin. This is the Jump Around 3.0. We are brought to you by and outfitted by Iron Jock. You can use the promo code ESPN30 for 30% off all purchases over $50. Again, that's Coach Thomas Hammack that joined the show. And if you missed any of the show, you can listen back, Wisconsin on Demand, Apple, Spotify, any of those great places. You'll find us in Wisconsin on Demand in the Varsity Podcast. This is a Jump Around, a new digital show, episode number 2. Shout out to Primetime Wollersheim, who has been booking fantastic guests for us, Brad. First week it was Tarek Sala, who then, after he was on the show, was obviously honored at in the second half as for being a Badger Hall of Famer, and we were able to have him on leading into that. And now we have Coach Hammack, I would say the story of college football. And look, I always feel like, Brad, there's always a Badger tie. Once a Badger, always a Badger.
Yeah, it's the connection that makes Wisconsin special. Primetime Wollersheim. I love that. I mean, he's been nailing primetime guests. I have no doubt that will continue to go throughout the season. But for real, when it comes to that Badger connection, whether it be Tarek Sala last week or Coach Hammack this week, if you have any connection to the Wisconsin Badger program from the state, I mean, it's just one of those things that it makes it special, whether you were born here, went there, a fan of here, spent any bit of time there. It's what makes the Wisconsin Badger community so special. So, you know, whatever happens on Sunday, right? Yeah. Or on Saturday, excuse me.
Yeah.
At least that community stays strong. And I do know that the Madison faithful will bring it and Camp Randall will be rocking. That's the only thing I can say with confidence.
Yeah.
But that is something to be said nonetheless.
Hopefully the Badgers. It's Chris Orr drop there. If you're new to the show, that's one from the show Jim, Matt, and Molly. We use plenty of times. So you can listen to that on ESPN Madison 4-6. But hopefully the Badgers are a winner on Saturday. You could be a winner at Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, over $1.3 million in jackpots last weekend alone, over 500 winners at Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. You could go be a winner there. Brad, we heard from Coach Hammack as far as, and we read back the quote, I told him all week, we don't need any luck. We need to do our best. They believed. We heard Coach Fickell talk about, you know, referring back to Barry Alvarez, that this is the type of games that this program is built for. This is why you come to Wisconsin. Barry Alvarez has said, this is why you come to Wisconsin for games like this. You went to Wisconsin. You played in a game like this. You were not as big of an underdog as Wisconsin is now. But what was said to you, because we know what Coach Hammack said to his team to help keep that belief to knock off Notre Dame 14-13. They were bigger underdogs than Wisconsin is this weekend. What did Coach Bielema say to you guys when you're able to pull off that upset? And now I'm going to add a little aspect to it. How much did everything else feel more possible when David Guillory took that opening kickoff straight to the house?
Oh, it was electric factory. I mean, when that happened, it really felt like that was the impetus that we needed. I mean, one of the most iconic plays of Wisconsin history, starting off that opening kickoff where David Gilreath takes it all the way back to the house. I still have never heard not only Cam Randall louder than that moment, but well, there's a couple times it got loud in the NFL. But it was at least a top three all-time loud moment throughout any of my career. What you need is belief, right? That's legitimately what you need. Coach Bielema all week was saying to us, look, I know Ohio State's number one. We were 18, and we had a bunch of NFL players on that team, so like, yep. We were a good team. I think we knew it, too. So there was belief, but all the outside headlines, you know, College Game Day was there when we played that game, and so the game felt big. But all week, Coach Bielema was saying to us, look, this is a big game because you are playing in it, because we are playing in it. Ohio State, they play teams all the time. And College Game Day isn't there, and they're not headlined, and it's not a nationally televised game that's going to, you know, rake in high ratings. This is a big game because we are playing in it. And that was the mentality all week, that it wasn't about Ohio State, it was about the Wisconsin Badgers. And knowing that we are the ones that dictate exactly how the pace of the game goes. And he kept on using all week in classic, you know, Coach B fashion. For anyone that's familiar with Coach B, none of this is going to sound familiar, but basically saying, the Buckeyes are intruders in your home. If an intruder comes into your home, what do you do with them? You rough them up, you kick them out, and you make sure that they are limping on their way out your front door. So that was the mentality all week. And same thing that Coach Hammack said, right? He was authentic. Players can tell when coaches are not authentic, right? You can smell it. It's pretty easy to see. And Coach Bielema remained himself all week. I believed, and we all believed what he was saying. We bought what he was selling to us. So Coach B, he was himself. He was physical, mentally at least, and just he permeated his own confidence onto us. And it gave us a lot of confidence going into it. And then, boy, oh, boy, when David Gilreath took it back, it said, okay, here we go. Let's not look back.
Right. That obviously helps that confidence. It was interesting where Coach Hammack referenced a moment in the game where he said, oh, boy, I might have to prepare my, hey, we really tried hard speech. But he didn't obviously show that to the players. And I think that's one of those things, that poker face throughout a game, that even if as a coach you're not, maybe not believing, but you're not fully believing, or you're coming up with a backup plan, you can't ever let the team see that. And I think that's one of the things that this coaching staff has to bring, that belief. And it does reiterate what we talked about, though. You beat Bama. These aren't words anymore. And that's what Coach Hammack has going forward. You beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame. These aren't just words. And Hammack's been at Northern Illinois longer than Fickell at Wisconsin, so he probably has that relationship. And obviously Northern Illinois, when you talk about having players there 2-3 years, like, that's unique now in college football. But still, this is the opportunity for this coaching staff. And to your point about moral victory or a momentum victory, if they can get a momentum victory, even if they can have a heartbreaking loss and not pull off the upset and lose by 7-10, especially if that like last little difference is at the end of the game, that will carry belief forward for this team. And I think this team has a ton of talent, and I think what they need is belief in themselves, belief in the system. And it's not like they're not all bought in, but Brad, and I'll let you go off of this, it's just different when it's done, especially with something new, when it's actually done on the field and shown on the field. No matter how much you believe, seeing it proved is so much more important.
Oh, it's so important. I mean, even in my own career, you're one person before you prove that you can do it when it matters, and then you're another person afterward. Like, you have to have that validation with real bullets in real time when it really matters, that you can step up and do what's asked of you. Until then, it's just like self-confidence and sort of assuming that when the time comes for you to deliver, that you'll deliver. So when it comes to this team, this is why I say that this program in general, they need a program-defining win within the first 2 or 3 years, because not only does that help recruits and NIL and all the things that keep a healthy program, the pipeline of a healthy program, robust, but for the guys on the team and for the coaching staff, like, there's a feeling of until we do it, you don't have that next level confidence. It's just air. So that's why this team needs it. And Coach Fickell even said, like, he said, this is a measuring stick for this program. Now, I'll ask you, Jim, when I heard that, I didn't know how to take that. I wonder what Coach Fickell is telling the guys behind closed doors. Coach Fickell, he is nothing if not respectful, and he's just not going to do anything to disrespect Alabama, right?
Right.
I would have loved to have seen him say kind of what Coach Bielema told us. Now, I don't know what Coach Bielema was saying to the media. I didn't pay attention to that in college. But I wonder, would you have liked to have hear something different? Something to the effect of, we're going to play our game. We're confident in our team. They're coming to our house. Would you have liked to have heard something a little bit different? Or are you okay with him just saying, this will be a measuring stick to the program?
I get where you're coming from. And I think it's because you're outside that locker room now. Like, in the media, as a media guy, yeah, I want more. And as a fan, you want more. Bama is someone that I think you want to play possum for. So as long as Coach Fickell is doing his Bielema impersonation, his Thomas Hammack impersonation, and sounding like Denzel Washington's character in Remember the Titans, and he's just lighting these guys up and mainly hyping them up to make them believe they can do it. Wisconsin historically is always at its best when they're playing possum, when nobody believes in us, whether it's Badger football, Badger basketball. It's such a sad trope. I feel like it even applies to the sports side, other sports with the Brewers and Packers. When nobody believes in you, this team, they're ready to go, to borrow from Matt LaFleur, warm pee and ready to go. When you have the hype or you're feeling yourself, I swear it's something in the water here in Wisconsin. The teams don't come through as much. So it's honestly, I'm going to assume that Coach Fickell is being, strategically arrogant and building those guys up and making them feel like they can take on the world inside that locker room, but playing possum forward. I hope that's the case.
Yeah, and we're talking a little bit, I know upcoming here, about the anatomy of an upset, of what it'll take. There is something about Wisconsin sports that we've mastered the anatomy of heartbreak.
Yeah.
To where we get to the point where, you're excited about the team and everything looks good, and the anatomy of the heartbreak is when you think this is finally the year, and somehow, some way, it doesn't work. But I think you're right. I think Coach Fickell knows the spotlight is on him, and he needs to make sure that he says all the right things to the media, because you can make the argument, what does it gain? What does it gain you to publicly prod the gorilla that is Alabama football, right? I mean, that you could just only anger them and get them going more, because part of what Wisconsin's going to need to do, they're going to have to start fast and like introduce a little bit of doubt into Alabama. I think that's what Northern Illinois did. I think that's even what South Florida did to Bama last week. Now, they couldn't finish the job, but it was a close game going into the third and fourth quarter. If you're going to pull off an upset against a team like Alabama, you need to introduce doubt in their minds right away. And even when I was on good teams and we were upset, there was something going on where they come out swinging, and you're like, this team is not a cupcake. We are in for it all day. And you get a little tense. You get a little bit thinking, oh, wow, we have to actually, not that we have to actually bring our A game, but you start thinking, you're a little bit more hesitant. You try a little bit harder as opposed to just playing free and confident. So that was one of the things that we had when David Gilruth took that opening touchdown back against Ohio State. I believe that happened. I think they punted. I think we had the ball up 7 midway through the first quarter, and I think there was a little bit of doubt introduced into the mind of the Ohio State Buckeyes. The crowd was in it, and then everything starts rolling. So important in an anatomy of an upset is to start fast and introduce doubt. It's hard to do that if the other team comes into your home already snorting, ready to get after you.
Yeah, throw flowers at their feet.
put it, you know, do the old Iowa pink locker, make them feel like
comfortable.
Wisconsin's just happy to be there. And I was actually a little bit upset that South Florida gave them a little run for their money because I wanted Iowa's first punch in the mouth to come at Wisconsin, or yeah, Alabama's first punch in the mouth, excuse me, come at Wisconsin, because this is new coaching staff, players are the same, but these are high level recruits. These are players who I think at times can be guilty of expecting to be able to roll the helmet out there and win the football game. And this spread plays into the fact that Alabama could have every right to feel like, look, we're Alabama, we'll roll our helmets out here and we'll go win it. And Wisconsin needs to do something to disrupt that. And it's basically, again, exactly what South Dakota and what Western Michigan tried to do to Wisconsin. And they made it hairy for a minute. Wisconsin had to make a play. Obviously, the muff punt put them up. And as we talk about the anatomy of an upset here, Brad, and I'll put it back to you as far as what, you know, keys to victory or how this happens, and you've kind of touched on it. I went with a generic, like, just don't turn it over, and I like our chances. Just don't turn it over and stay in front of the sticks, and I think this game will be competitive. But this does remind me, and I don't know, obviously this was in the Final Four, so it's a bigger game, but I think the biggest underdog victory that I can think of was Wisconsin beating Kentucky, who was favored by 6 in 2015, loaded with NBA players. That was more shocking to the world when the Badgers won 71-64. That team was undefeated than if the Badgers beat Alabama. But it is similar to that because this Bama team is loaded with known pros. Now, that Badger team ended up with Frank and Sam as pros, but the rest weren't pros, and they weren't the high. They both were lottery guys, but that Kentucky team was full of top lottery guys. And we don't know what this Badger football team has for pros. We can make an educated guess that Bama's going to have a handful of pros at a bare minimum on this team. So it's that type of upset that's on the table for Wisconsin just on the football side of things.
Yeah, you know, Jim, that's well said. And one of the things that you mentioned that is the ultimate equalizer is turnovers, right? The turnover margin. Don't turn the ball over and find the way on defense and special teams to create turnovers. Because if you're plus three turnovers, It's like the current of a river, right?
Yeah.
It's really hard to fight against that. It's really hard to overcome that, even if you are a really good team, because that just tilts the odds in your favor of the team that has the winning turnover margin so much so. So, you know, the Badgers are going to need some of those. I don't want to call them like gifts, but there are certain mistakes that Alabama needs to make, whether it be turnovers, maybe penalties, things like that, that will set them back. Because I think to win, the Badgers need to play an A-plus game. They need to play an A-plus game. And I think Bama needs to play their C-minus game. And that's possible. That's really possible. If Badgers play A-plus and Bama plays B to B-plus, I still think Bama wins. And another part of it, when we get into like the nitty-gritty of game plan, right? This is why starting fast matters so much. If Bama gets out to a quick lead and the crowd's not in it, it caters itself to the how Wisconsin is structured and how Bama is structured, right? Bama's really good in O and D-line. Wisconsin, I think D-line is their biggest weakness today, and their offensive line has been just okay. So if Bama gets into the point where they're up 10, 14 points and it's the first half, and they feel like they can just run the ball, they can dominate the line of scrimmage and dominate the clock, that's not going to be good for the Wisconsin defense. However, if they're down, they feel like they need to score and score quickly, move the ball. It's the Badger secondary that has its most playmakers with Hallman and Woller. And on the other side, I think if the Badgers can slow things down, get first downs, run the ball, I think that again, works into Wisconsin's favor. I don't think this Wisconsin offense wants to score very quickly. I think they like long, methodical drives, and that is a benefit. So again, starting early, starting fast, and getting up early, critical, not only to momentum, but actually what the strengths and weaknesses of both these teams are.
This is the Jump Around 3.0, brought to you in part by Simmons Chevy in Mount Horeb. You're only minutes away from a better buying experience at Simmons Chevy in Mount Horeb. A better buying experience is a customized buying experience. A-plus, you mentioned that, Brad, and I get what you're saying. My question is, how as players, because nobody plays an A-plus game, do you avoid like the era of trying to be too perfect? That if something does go wrong, you're like, well, that's it. So, how do you walk that line knowing you have to go out there? So, what do you mean by A-plus game? And then, because obviously, I'm sure you guys went into the same mentality, and then obviously a sigh of relief came when David Gilreath had the opening kickoff, but you've gone into big games. You've played plenty of big games. We'll keep it on college football. You've played plenty of big games. I'm sure that times you're an underdog and that A-plus mentality needs to come in. So, how do you balance needing to play my best game, but also understanding my best game includes mistakes?
Well, I think oftentimes playing your best game comes when you're playing free, when you're playing confident and loose. So when I say A+, I mean no cheap penalties. Don't do something stupid. Even small things like instead of batting down a pass for if you're a DB, pick it off. If you can pick it off, don't drop an interception. Don't drop a pass. Don't miss any field goals. There are some things you look at where there's a whole bunch of lists of don'ts. Don't do that. And when there's a play to be made, even if it's maybe a little bit of a risk to go make it, try to make that play because you're going to need big plays along the way. And you're right. I mean, this Wisconsin team, I don't think they're going to come in tight. I really don't. I think they're such a big underdog. They're going to play loose and free. And I think that's when you play your best football anyway, is when you're playing loose and free. And you even kind of need permission from the coach, right? This is where Coach Fickell's narrative matters. If Coach Fickell says, I want you to go for it. If you have a chance to make that sack, go make the sack. If you have a chance to make the pick instead of batting it, go make the pick. You almost need permission to not, it's not like these guys are waiting on Coach Fickell's permission to go make a play. But when you hear that from the head coach, when it's encouraged by the head coach, the hesitation goes away. You don't hesitate. You just go make the play. You go play free. And you just say, I don't know what's going to happen, but if you play that way, it's our best chance of victory. And I'll take the other side of it. So that's where if they do make mistakes, even Coach Fickell saying, if we get burned because you tried to make a play, I won't be mad at you. I'll clap. I'll encourage you. So I think that's the kind of narrative that Coach Fickell needs to introduce into the players. And the players need to buy it. And they need to actually, when those opportunities come, they just need to go for it.
I'm with you on all that. I think that the biggest difference maker in this game is Tyler Van Dyke. And at Miami, in his best season in 2021, they played three games against ranked opponents. He completed 75% of his passes for 751 yards, 10 yards per attempt, 7 touchdowns, 1 interception. And at home, 65% completion percentage, 1,500 yards, 14 touchdowns, no interceptions. We need that Tyler Van Dyke, the guy who showed up big against ranked opponents in 2021 at Miami, his breakout season there, where he ran an offense that mirrors an offense that Wisconsin runs now. And Brad, I hope, and I don't know, and you can answer this part before we let you go, before we wrap up the show. I hope the Badgers have kept a lot of different things in the tank. Maybe there's blitz packages we haven't seen to get this pressure that they know they need, because I love their linebackers. I really think they have some incredible linebackers, and I think their secondary can take those calculated risks you're talking about and be great. Even with Tackett Curtis in for Chaney, I still like their linebackers. I think they're deep, and I think hopefully they're going to create chaos and bring the house and try to confuse Alabama with something they haven't seen on film, which isn't crazy. Wisconsin could have something in their back pocket for Alabama that's not unheard of. And then offensively, hopefully they've been showing a lot of short passes on tape, and at some point you get someone from Alabama to bite on that short pass because they want to make the play. And you make those big plays. So that's my hope, is that the Badgers had, 5-6 plays on defense, or schemes on defense, and 5-6 plays on offense that they've been back pocketing. And Brad, I'll ask you, is that something that teams do if you feel like you can in the non-conference when you have a game like this looming?
Yes, it is something that happens, especially when you play Western Michigan and South Dakota, right? Those are not marquee matchups where you feel like we can just line up and beat you, or we should be able to line up and beat you, to where we don't need to scheme our way to success. This is a game where you have to use scheme, and your scheme's going to have to be dialed in. Again, that's part of the A+, right? Mm-hmm. If there's something that you're holding back, if there's a matchup you can exploit, you have to scheme in an A+ way as well for the coaching staff. So it is possible, and it's not even as direct as we haven't shown anything. You could have shown something against South Dakota and Western Michigan, and then you have a changeup from that play to where Bama's been scouting this one play. This is what it looks like. And then we're going to do a wrinkle off of that play for misdirection. And we have given you the hook the last 2 weeks. And now we're going to introduce some misdirection off of that. So that's sort of the chess battle that takes place. And again, we show something first quarter. We come back with something else third quarter. There's a lot of layers to what scheme looks like. And I would bet heavily on the fact that the Wisconsin coaching staff has been thinking about that, and that they're going to introduce some things for it, because you need some big plays, and one way to get big plays is scheming big plays, and I think the Wisconsin coaching staff will do that.
So on that note, what's your game prediction?
My game prediction is Alabama 42, Wisconsin 17. I think it's going to be a long day. I just think that this Wisconsin team is still finding themselves. It still feels like it's a program in transition, and I get that that takes years. And I'm still having a hard time figuring out what their identity is. I agree with you on the linebackers. I think that's the strength of the team, and losing Chaney for the first half hurts. I just think Bama is too good. I think they're one of the best teams in the country. And I'm afraid they're not going to get the fast start they need. And we're going to look at ourselves middle of the second quarter and say, shucks, like, there's no coming back from it. So I hope I'm wrong. I bleed red, and I'm going to be rooting for Wisconsin just as much as ever.
Yep.
But if I'm putting my analyst hat on and not my fan hat, that's my prediction.
Northern Illinois beat Notre Dame 16-14. This is more of a, hey, they're going to pull it off somehow. I have the Badgers. I put it in our score predictions, I think, come out tomorrow. 17-16.
Wow.
I think, like,
how do they do it?
Not turning the ball over. And great defense, special teams, bleeding that clock out. This really depends on Walker being healthy. Maybe it's a wild card with some of the freshman running back. They got a little bit of run late in the game, so, and different little burst of speed. Different players out there. So not a trick play, but similar to the play they had against South Dakota. Maybe there's a play in there where they get Alabama to overcommit on something. You get that one offensive touchdown, and then you win on defensive special teams. The kicking game comes through. The punting game comes through. And the defense, and this is really where it comes from, I just think, the only way they do this is, to your point, yeah, you show the shell that what you've been showing, but you are coming from all angles, and Alabama doesn't expect that. And look, I just look in the NFL. I heard Chicago talk about it. Caleb Williams, we'd never seen that defensive coordinator before. We didn't know what the play calling was going to be. We didn't know what was going to happen, and it was confusing. And that's with a whole week of being able to scout. Alabama doesn't see Big Ten teams, doesn't see Wisconsin. So hopefully Coach Tressel is saying, you know what? We're going to keep our same scheme, but every blitz package that we have available in this scheme that hasn't been showing much over the last few years and in all this season, let's bring some of that. And let's use our athletic linebackers, the players best designed to fit with Alabama's speed and talent. Let's try to accentuate our strength of linebackers and corners to overcome our weak D-line. And that's how they do it.
Well, Jim, nobody would be more happy than me to have that come true. We're bringing the party to Madison,
right,
if that happens, all Saturday,
yes,
baby.
Yes, awesome. So hopefully we're closer. We both had the Badgers scoring the same amount of points, or at least is that.
How about that?
Yeah, there you go. Brad, thanks for another great show in the books.
Thanks, guys.
This has been the Jump Around 3.0 on Wisconsin On Demand, YouTube, and on Facebook.